is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Like a trailer shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
The march is on. The march is on. Brought to you by AEP, Huntington, Fox Sports Ohio, and Ohio Health.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McGilligan.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, the final edition for the 2017-2018 Blue Jackets season. I'm Bob McGilligan, joined by Jody Shelley. The Blue Jackets eliminated from Stanley Cup playoff action earlier this week when they were beaten by the Washington Capitals 6-3. That was on Monday night, and the Blue Jackets lose that series 4-2. They lose it after winning the first two games and then dropping 4 in a row. So, Jody, not the way that they wanted to go into the offseason by any means. There were a lot of good things that came out of that series. There are a lot of potential building blocks for the Blue Jackets as they move ahead to next year and beyond. But that didn't soften the blow. That didn't make it not hurt over the last couple of days.
Bob, there's only one team that heads into the offseason happy. So just remember that. And it doesn't matter when you're eliminated. It doesn't matter if it's 10 days ago or after the first, second, third round. There's only one team that can sit back and say they're satisfied. Yeah, it would have been nice to go a little longer. Everyone feels that way. But, this is where we sit. And it stinks.
Yeah, it does.
It always does.
And I was trying to explain this to people in the interviews I've done in the last couple of days. If you're not in the playoffs, if your team is not going to be in the playoffs, you know it, and you're looking at the schedule, and you're counting it down in your head, right? You know there's 5 games left, there's 4 games left. And as you're doing your job, you know it's ending. When you're in the playoffs, you're going 100 miles an hour every day, and then all of a sudden it stops.
It doesn't matter how far you make it.
Right.
It's always the same. It's like jumping in the Atlantic Ocean.
How long you go 100 miles an hour a day. It's just how long, a matter
it's
of how long, right?
And if you don't win it, guess what? You feel exactly the way we feel right now.
Yeah, so tough for the Blue Jackets. Again, a lot of things that they could build upon, but it's not really what they want to hear or want to talk about right now, I am sure. But we got a full show for you here tonight, and we're going to kick it off with the head coach of the Blue Jackets who is joining us right now on the phone. John Tortorella is with us. Torts, thanks for taking a couple of minutes for us tonight.
My pleasure, guys.
What are your feelings a day and a half or almost 2 days later? Jody and I were just talking about how disappointing it is. You have that thrill of every day, and you're going 100 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden at the end of a game, it's over, and there's nothing to do the next day, except for you guys, of course, have your end-of-season meetings.
Yeah, this is disappointing. A little bit different than last year, where I don't think we were totally I don't think we were involved in that series as quick as we were in this one. I think we're a different team. I think it was a team that could beat Washington. I think it was a team that just could not finish games, lost our discipline, lost our patience in the game, and this is what happens. Losing 4 straight and 3 at home, it's just unacceptable. And I'm not going to listen to it's a process, it's a young team that's learning their lessons. And yeah, we're going to be young next year too, because we're going to get some young kids in the lineup next year. So we need to figure this out. Looking at that building for 3 games, the way the people stood behind us and coming away with empty, that sucks. So we need to figure this out.
Does it sting even more the fact that you tested these guys, or you were part of a test with these guys in some different moments this season, and they came through on the right side of those moments, those adversity, and you felt, I think we felt, that there was something in that room this season that was special that you need to carry yourself through a long playoff run, and here we are, just one series out of it.
Well, we play 6 games, and Jody, we had 2 great opportunities. And, when you lose 4 straight after winning 2, it's like the bottom fell out. But, I need to be honest, the bottom didn't fall out. We were there every game. other than game four, where we were paralyzed for some reason, we were there every game. We had two great opportunities to really push ahead. That's game three and game five. Game three, we have chances, overtime, one shot away of taking a stranglehold, 3-0. Don't get it done there. They get back in the series, paralyzed four. We have game five. The third period, 10 scoring chances. They have one shot. We don't finish. They score. So that's the hard part. And I think the major responsibility that needs to be taken here, I think, is with the coaches, not letting the players off the hook. But as the series kept going, the two biggest points we brought up right when the series started in our meeting, our first meeting, was staying disciplined and having patience in your game where you're not turning the puck over. I think as they crawled back into it, we felt more and more pressure for the right reason, trying to make a difference. I think our guys pressed, tried to do too much, and we lost our patience. I think we need to score a goal at an important time. That next goal, I think we need another save at an important time. And everybody has to give skin here, from our goaltender right to the head coach. And no one on this team better rationalize or better point fingers elsewhere, because we're all involved in this, just as we would be if we're celebrating going by the first round.
Talking with Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. And, Torts, when I talked to a couple of the guys after the game, after game six, when it was over, kind of got the sense that two games to none lead, maybe they didn't handle it the right way when they did come back for game three as well. And I know one of your famous sayings is, you can't let it get too good to you. Even though it was games that you were trailing and had to come back late and win in overtime, was there any of that? Did they let it get too good to them at 2-0?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I thought we were dead on in game three. I thought we got better and better. I respect our team in keeping it a straight line, not getting too far ahead and not getting too low when things aren't going well. Game four is the puzzled one, and I think I have to take responsibility in that. I believe I screwed up the travel. I think we should have stayed in Washington after game two. Jody's played the game. When you come back in at 3:00, 3:30, get to bed at that time, it doesn't affect you the next day or a couple of days. It's 3 or 4 days after. I think that affected us in game four. But we still have opportunities to stand in there. And I have no beef as far as how hard we played, but we don't know how to win. We did not know how to win in that series. To lose three home games out of the last four, we need to take a strong look at ourselves and how we have to handle those situations as we push forward. That's everybody, guys. That's everybody. That includes the coaching staff. As I said earlier in this conversation.
Have you already met with your players?
I don't meet with them. If players want to meet with me, they'll ask for it. I'm going to meet with a couple tomorrow because they called me. I think those exit meetings are very important for the general manager and the management group. I've been talking at them for 7 months. I don't need to have another meeting when we're raw in our feelings after being eliminated. My conversations will be in the next 2 or 3 weeks over the summer, and I think it's much better suited that way. And I think from a coaching staff, we get much more accomplished that way instead of right after getting eliminated.
You came into this season and there was purpose in every single day. And I mean, maybe it's too early to even go here, but is there moments in this season where you really got excited about this team and that is what brought this to this pinnacle of getting to this series that was winnable? And now it hurts on different levels. And as you said, it is different. I think it's because there was a lot of things this season where were just so encouraging.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to drown that out either. We had a really good year, but Jesus, we just can't accept being eliminated like this, playing three in your building. And that building and the people, it was so good for us to experience that. But to come away empty on three games, it can't happen that way. But to answer your question, Jody, I thought the most important time of our year was when we had all the injuries of four or five guys, and we kept it together during that time. I think played 500 hockey in those 20 games or so. And then it was a tremendous learning experience for me to see with this team especially how it goes about its business when it has confidence versus how it goes about its business when it doesn't, because it's night and day. And I believe we grasped that confidence level at the right time, going for that run for us at the end of the year to give us an opportunity to get in.
We're with Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella, and I'm not asking you this to make an excuse for you by any means, but Alexander Wennberg, he's a guy that we've seen him play very well, and then we've seen him go mm-hmm. for stretches where he's not so well. I told Jody we were coming back from Washington. I looked at him on the plane and I said, the next time I'm wondering why Alexander Wennberg doesn't seem like he's doing anything on the ice, remind me of how this team played in the playoffs when he was there and how they played when he wasn't there. How big of a hole was it not to have him for those three games?
Yeah, I still think we, with Wenny, who's just a great kid, has to get to another level. I think we get excited sometimes when you see him start playing. I think we need to hold him and a number of our other key guys to a higher standard. You got to be really careful as far as, yeah, he's back, when it's at a standard that really is too low. But to have him back in the lineup, it solidified my lines, especially up the middle. I mean, that's a concern of the organization, is our center ice position, and to lose him, one of our smarter players, a good penalty killer, and one of our power play guys, it certainly hurts. But they lost a player, and whatever his name is, Burakovsky there, and who was a really good player for them. They found a way. Yeah, you're not getting me down that road there where you lose a player. You got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. And that's the major lesson we have to learn here is we need to have more skin. We need to have more moxie as far as how you handle these situations. And and I think we will. I like our team, guys. I do. There'll be some changes, as there always is every year, but I like the core of this team. I think we have something going in the right direction, but you can't miss this opportunity to keep on going and play six lousy playoff games.
It's pretty amazing because, I mean, a couple games I was down there at ice level with you, and I know this will be something you'll rehash later, but there was some – I mean, the fine line, I've seen fine lines in series and in hockey games. I know every team that gets through to the third, fourth round will look back and say, can you believe that post, or can you believe that save? Or, I mean, there was a lot of moments right to that final buzzer of game number six here the other night at home, and you saw them. And have you – I mean, that's just a real up and down, not only for you guys, the fans here, the organization, the people in the front office – they went through it with you guys. I mean, that's all got to add to something too, right?
Oh, sure, sure. I think we're learning. I think it's a I thought it was a great series as far as the overtimes. And, I mean, our building, and I know some of the players on the opposing team that I have spoken to since the series has been over, and they couldn't believe our building. And I'm disappointed for our fans. I'm not usually a guy that gets into – really worrying about all that stuff there, but I think it's an important part of us to make this work in Columbus and get this gathering coming to these games all the time. They were terrific. So it put us through some experiences, but it's a point, as I sit here so frustrated when I'm even talking to you guys, I need to remember how close the series was where it could have turned. But we did not. We had two or three great opportunities to turn it, and we didn't come through. So that's on us.
With head coach John Tortorella of the Blue Jackets, you mentioned you'll have some conversations with guys that reached out to you, but then what is it from there for you? I mean, Yarmo is going to go through and they make the assessments and figure out what they have, what they need, what they can do as far as the roster goes. How much, if at all, do you get involved in any of that stuff?
We're in it today in the meeting. Before Yarmo and his staff started their exit interviews with the players, we're in there this morning, mapping out what we have signed, what our team looks, what's it need, what are the needs, free agents, decisions on Vanek, Letestu, Coley, and all these guys. Where do they fit? Are we interested? All these discussions started today. So Yarmo has been terrific as far as communicating with us and us being involved in those conversations. And as any general manager does, you're trying to make your team better, and you got to be really careful. You can love your guys at certain times, but you can't fall in love with them. Because you have to go about your business and try to get better. And we started those discussions today for 2 or 3 hours.
And that was one thing I was going to ask you about this series, because it was so close and everything. Does it give you, and not so much you, but the organization, is there a clear-cut picture from this series? Is there anything muddled, or is it a pretty clear cut? Yes, we definitely need to improve here, here, and here, and this is the way we have to go about it.
Yeah, I think there's a clearer picture of what we think we need to add. But the biggest thing is, as you keep on going here, and a number of minutes of the discussion today were about some of our kids that we have in our organization. We have to continue developing from within. That's the only way it works and sustains a competitive hockey club. It's about what might be out there and what are our needs, and is there a certain free agent that we could get? A lot of it was about us, and we have to improve. The players, the core of our team that will be with us next year, can't sit still here. They have to improve. And that's a big part about going about your business, is staying within your organization, becoming better that way.
It's such a grind now. I mean, it's one of the worst things, I think, as a team, that now back-to-back you've made the playoffs and now it's expected, and it should be. That's exactly how it should be. Yeah. But now you've got to take the off-season, you've got to take preseason, you've got to take the regular season to get back to be exactly where you were 48 hours ago. And that's the part that I think, I mean, the fans feel it right now, and they're going to feel it more as these expectations keep rising. And the group of players, when they leave, do you get the sense? I don't know if you've seen them, but are they that discouraged and that disappointed and feel the way that we all do, that this has got to, we got to wait all friggin' preseason, off season, regular season?
I think one of the biggest things that's happened here the past couple of years, I think the standard has been raised, and I think there is expectations. But I'll tell you right now, it is going to be a dogfight to get in, as it was this year. It's not easy to make the playoffs, and I really respect how our group went about their business to get themselves an opportunity. And that's what hurts me the most, is they're not able to experience just a simple damn home win in front of that crowd. And forget about moving on in the series. Just to experience how you feel coming off that ice, winning a home game. It's going to be difficult. But we have to continue to go about our business. And I think we all have to improve as we've gone through this part of the process this year.
Torch, last thing I want to ask you about is, you talk about the kids and building from within the organization, and you're absolutely right. That's how it gets sustained now. You see the teams that are around every year, they're bringing guys that they drafted and they developed. They're coming in and playing in the National Hockey League. You're so busy throughout the course of the year. How many of those kids do you know or have any kind of – I know you like to get your own assessment when they get here, but, how many guys – are there at least a couple of guys that – You've gotten reports on, or you've seen play to some extent, even on video, that you're excited about?
Yeah, I haven't spent much time because you are kind of locked in with your team. But when we got to see this kid from Princeton, Robinson, I watch him skate, how fast he is. Broadhurst, who's a bit older now, Had a really good year with our minor league team. Played a game in Nashville. I watched his skating. I listened to Yarmo, Billy, Basil today in the reports of some of the kids that we haven't seen, and there's a lot of speed and size there. You know, my question is, are they coming to camp? Is it just development camp? Are they coming to the big camp? I don't have a lot of knowledge, so I really can't speak on it unless I see him play. But just listen to them talk. There's some excitement about some kids that are coming, maybe not this year, but the following year. And that's where they're terrific at, and that's their job, is to project and keep on ready to sustain us from within. Because we took a lot of guys from that team in Cleveland when they won their championship. We, a lot of those guys are with us. I do think we're going down the right road, but I can't make an assessment on that, and I never will, as I've always talked to you, Bobby, until I see him play.
Right, and hey, look, you saw Pierre-Luc Dubois in training camp last year, and you said, nope, not ready to go, yeah, and you saw him this year.
I didn't even see him.
Right.
I didn't even notice him in this first camp. I didn't, and I know Yarmo doesn't like hearing that, but I didn't. If I didn't know that they told me he was this, that's the thing. These kids, you expect so much out of them right away that they're 18 years old and they're playing at the top of their profession. And now look what Luke did in 1 year. He experienced the camp and struggled through the skating. He was not good in the exhibition games because he was so tired from the conditioning we went through. But then he got a taste of it, prepared himself differently as he gets ready for his second camp, understood it a little bit better. And look what this kid does. I mean, where are we if we don't have a 19-year-old center step in and be our number one center right from for most of the year and play against all the top centers in this league? That is terrific as far as what this kid did.
And I think just to illustrate what you're talking about with the coaches, when Pierre-Luc Dubois played in Traverse City, I went up there for the last two games, and he was fine. But I expected third overall pick, he's going to jump off the page and he's going to dangle everybody and he's going to light everything up. And he didn't. And I talked to Chris mm-hmm. Clark, the development coach, and I said, what's the deal here? I mean, you know, you're thinking this guy has a chance to make the team out of camp. And then you see him amongst the rookies mm-hmm. and he goes, you got to watch what he does every shift. Watch yeah. the little things yeah. he does and watch how better he gets at it the entire time. And obviously yeah. he was right because we all watch it all year.
Yeah, well, one of the best hockey evaluators I've been involved with is Yarmo. And him and I go at it pretty good about players, what I see in them and what he sees in them. And he's always leaning on me. He said, just be patient. You just watch. And this was one of the him and I went pretty good on Luke. Is he ready? What is he? And it's probably the same type of questions you're talking about, Bobby, but he stands in there and he says, this is what he is. And I have a tremendous amount of faith in how he looks at a player. And he's not wrong. I hate saying that, but he's not wrong that often.
That was going to come. That was going to come back to haunt you.
That was a compliment.
Yeah, I hope he's not listening to this damn show because I don't want.
Oh, he is. He's running. You probably just picked up the pace a little bit.
Are you more patient now or less patient now than you used to be when it comes to that stuff?
Oh, I am so much more patient, and I have learned so many lessons as far as making a quick account of a player, and it's sometimes even giving up on a guy. And I've learned, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm going to make more. But I'm learning, and I do. I have a guy here as a general manager that I lean on. I listen to him. I've learned a lot from him as far as what he looks at. We still have disagreements along the way, but I think it's healthy that way. And I've tried to be a little bit more patient and understand a little better, not make so many quick judgments.
Well, as long as you're making mistakes behind that bench with this organization, I think we're okay with that because love having you around. And just I want to publicly thank you for all the time that you give us throughout the course of the season, through these interviews, on game days, on the plane, whatever it is. You always have time for us.
You know how sick and tired I'm talking to you.
Yes,
Bobby.
Yes. I know. I can't believe it took 22 minutes for that.
Yeah.
I thought we would lead with that. I was ready to lead with it.
I think he loves it, Bob. I think he loves it, really.
He just wants to bury me at the end and leave it like that. For the Torts, serious note, though, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. And I know you still got a lot of work to do, but enjoy yourself as much as you can.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed working with you this year.
Thanks.
Thanks, Torts.
Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. Talking with, I swear, I thought he was going to lead with that. I can't believe he waited till the very end.
I think he likes working with you, Bob. Yeah. I think deep down he appreciates your work.
Well,
at least someone does, right?
Right.
I'm kidding.
Let's take a break and come back with more of the Inside Edge after this on 97.1 The Fan.
Back to the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligott.
The march is on. The march is on. Brought to you by AEP, Huntington, Fox Sports Ohio, and Ohio Health.
On your home of the Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge. Wrapping up the 2017-2018 Blue Jackets season. It ended on Monday night when they lost in Game 6 to the Capitals. 6-3 was the final score. Capitals take the series 4-2. And for their win, they get to face the Pittsburgh Penguins starting tomorrow night. There is a Game 7. It is tonight. It is Toronto and Boston. Toronto has come back in that series to tie it at 3. And they will try to win on the road tonight and eliminate the Boston Bruins. And I'm just watching. We're watching NHL Network in here while we're doing the show. And, you know, the show in the Anaheim Ducks, who got eliminated in 4 games by the San Jose Sharks. So, you know what? If you think you're the only team that has problems, you're certainly not. There are other ones out there that are trying to figure it out, too.
Listen, as much and as painful as it is right now for us, there's going to be a lot of excitement around this team heading into training camp, because not only what they have here, what's going to happen this summer? Who are they going to pick up? What do they need? They're going to be very realistic. They always are. Seth Jones is here on a trade. Panarin is here on a trade. You don't know. And plus, Torch just said, they're talking about the youth in the organization. So, yeah, and this will make them better. I know I didn't want to hear that after the game, but we got to be realistic.
Right.
And one thing you love about Torch is he's honest. I mean, as much, and we all hate it. And we knew, remember when Torch was getting here, it was all like, oh, how do we do? You know, we all knew the YouTube reels of him, the highlight. He's just honest.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't handle it, you know what? And it makes great sound bites. I've read a couple articles lately. The Matt Calvert comment, okay, whatever. I mean, it was up and down like a toilet seat. Okay, that's it. I mean, that's just what he said.
Right.
But just, you got a good bull out of it, move on. But it's, he's honest to a fault. If people take it in the wrong context or if Matt gets upset. But in the end of the day, he's made this organization better, and he will continue to do that.
Yeah, he certainly has. I mean, he's a guy that came in saying he was going to change the culture.
And it's not easy.
No. I'm sure it wasn't very easy.
Nobody likes it.
He made a lot of enemies along the way, especially in the early years.
Yeah.
Right?
Who wants to make tough decisions and be the one? I mean, he talks to the media every day. And some days you see the short little 50-second one, and then the next team coming in will say, is it going to be a short one today? It's like, well, if you have a smart question and there's something to talk about, probably not.
Just like, what was it, game 5, right? In Washington, he kind of cut it off. But he didn't cut it off. This is what irritated me about that. He talked. There was nothing to talk about. And finally he was like, or it was game 4, it was here. How many times you get asked the same question without there being an answer for it? You know, like you said, that's enough. And then it gets portrayed a different way when the next day.
Listen, and it's when, okay, someone's doing, and he has so much respect for the writers that are the local guys that work hard. He's got respect for them, and he really goes out of his way for some of those guys and ladies that he's got respect for, and he answers their questions. But it's so funny to me when, you know, he'll answer about Pierre-Luc Dubois after a game. The next day, he'll answer this same question. He'll stand in there, and he'll have the same message for Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then the Montreal Canadiens roll in 2 days later, and they'll ask about Pierre-Luc Dubois, and he will answer it again. And it's like, okay, you know what I mean? He's just done this 3 times, right. And there is moments where if he was really on a short fuse. Obviously, he would be irritated by that, but he sticks with it, and he answers, and he stands in there. So there's a lot of great things about Torts, and it's things have changed around here, and it's just it is funny to see how he's portrayed, though. I don't know if he'll ever shake it, but...
Maybe not.
He's a good man.
Maybe not. And I mean, you know, I do it every day, and he is sick of me to some extent.
No, but you.
But it's, you know, the challenge, you know what the big challenge is when you do it every day? Try to come up with different questions than everybody's asking.
You know? Well, yeah, I bet.
Just because, but there are so many other things there. And I think, you know, for people that, some are writing a story, and they've got the story. They just need to fill the holes.
Right.
With the words, right?
Of course.
But sometimes there's deeper stories. There's more interesting stories at times. So anyway, he does a great job, and I'm happy he's here. And I remember talking to you when he was coming in, and I said, "Oh my God, what's going to happen here?"
Right. I think everybody was fine. But if you work hard and have good questions, he really respects you. I think that's the case with you and a lot of people that follow this team.
And the young guys. I mean, again, let's look at this past summer. They get Artemi Panarin.
Yeah.
First thing that everybody's saying. Well, how they do that, I don't know. But people are saying, well, how's he going to play for John Tortorella?
Yeah, I even thought that. Like, is this guy going to block shots and play defense, or is he going to have a long rope? Is he going to be, you know,
is he going to fly the zone every time, looking for the breakaway and all that? And it has been nothing but hard work, shift after shift.
This guy does nothing but do everything right.
I mean, I think if you could say, all right, give me a player that fits a John Tortorella style and to a T.
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah. That's what he turned out to be when it's all said and done.
You're right. He battled away from the puck. He was a game breaker early in the playoff series, exactly what the Blue Jackets needed. And you know what? He'll only get better.
Did he need some help? I mean, he was great in the first couple of games. And then once they keyed on him, so there's just, I don't know exactly.
Matt Calvert, did it. Bjorkstrand got that goal. I mean, there was other guys stepping up. But the other thing was, you cannot give up all those power plays. Momentum, you'd grab it, and then if you felt like Washington just went out and got a goal when they needed it, that's because I think the Blue Jackets gave them those opportunities. That's really what it came down to. They never, you know, the first two games, the Caps couldn't score the third goal, right, to get to go ahead. And it's like, okay, that's fine. And then it came the other way. I think game three, that double overtime loss, just really was a mental – mentally it was tough, and it started to crumble, and that's what happened, and then it just fell away from him, and then you look at it and think, and then you analyze, but it was because I think the Blue Jackets gave them opportunities. They played well. They had a heck of a team. They've got the offensive team, but there was moments there where that did not – it could have easily came the Blue Jackets' way.
And look, everybody knows, and it's in black and white, special teams was the difference in the series.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. And in the first two games, Washington was scoring power play goals, but the Blue Jackets were too. So it was kind of, if they got two and you got two, okay.
Right.
It's a wash.
Right. Yep,
and
that's
then,
a good
and
point.
Then you go 5-on-5, and the Blue Jackets were the better team 5-on-5 in most of those first two games. All of a sudden, when the power play dries up and is gone, and theirs continues to click at the same pace that it was going at, there's where your biggest problems came in.
Yeah, and in game six, they did get momentum from that power play to start the third period. There's no question. But you got to get the goal. The goal has got to be the one. That's when you're in a tight game, you know, and then, those are all scenarios. A few of them are worst case. Losing four in a row obviously is. Couldn't get that double overtime bounce. But the story as a player will be, and I heard the comments out of the locker room from some of the players, is put the series away. Put the series away. It's the first team to win four games. It's so hard. I think we get another level of appreciation for what we're watching now, too.
Yeah.
In some of these series, because how do you pick yourself up off the mat? And now the Blue Jackets say they advance, of course. Okay, now let's go play Pittsburgh. Got to beat Pittsburgh to get to the conference finals. Then you got to beat who? You got to beat Toronto, Boston, Tampa. Who are you going to take down? And then from there, you got to go and beat whoever's the best in the West. So this is the first round. I mean, by the third game, everybody was emotionally wiped.
Right.
If you think about it.
Absolutely right.
We were, and we didn't even really do anything.
No.
Like, after game three, everybody was like, we were all zombies. We didn't even talk to each other.
We didn't.
Right?
I know. It was the greatest day in the series, wasn't it? All right. We have so many people to thank, and I'm going to thank one right now because I'm going to throw something on him without giving him any warning whatsoever, and that's Michael Young, our producer, because we have an autographed stick to give away, and I'm just going to make it easy. It's the last day, and there was so much hard work, and we're still spent, so we're going to do it like this. If you're caller number 10, Alexander Wenberg, if you're caller number 10 at 614-821-9710, we've got an autographed stick for you, all right? Michael will answer the calls. He'll get us the winner. We'll be back to wrap up tonight's show after this on 97.1 The Fan.
This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The march is on. Brought to you by AEP, Huntington, Fox Sports Ohio, and Ohio Health.
Your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Is this a horror movie coming back here?
Michael, nice, Michael.
Congratulations. No. I know.
Great job.
Congratulations to Susie Donaldson of Columbus. She gets that team autograph signed stick from the Blue Jackets. I'm surprised it was still available because when Russ Mollahan, our director of broadcasting, he said we got a stick, and I told him to take that stick, shine it up real nice. No, I did not.
You smell.
Right, exactly. We do want to thank Russ Mollahan, our director of broadcasting, who is he's been great with the tickets and now the stick throughout the course of the year. And you know, he's
getting our guests.
Yes, he has.
Great job, Russ.
Done a great job with that. So thanks for all the hard work with that. The players and the coaches, you know, for coming on and whether they've been – we've had people in studio this year. We've
yeah,
had people.
Sonny Milano was here, right?
Yep. We've had people we sat down with after practice and had lengthy conversations with. Whatever it took, this group of players made it happen for us, so we really appreciate that.
Well said. Yeah, and, you know, it's been fun. I mean, it's been a fun season for us. We always enjoy coming in here and I love when we open up the phone lines to the fans. You know, there's some. We had new fans last week on board, people that were just getting into hockey, and this needs to continue for the Blue Jackets. This is such a sports city, but I think the players are realizing you got to win, and that's really what this is about. And I love the pressure that that they have on them. I think they love it too. This is an exciting young group, and you know, a lot of the year you talk about being the youngest team in the league, and then you look at Boone Jenner. You know, he's so old at 25. I mean, he's young.
I know. I remember you ripping me last week for saying that to him. Yeah.
And Seth Jones is what, 23? You know, Wenberg, you think he's an old guy? 23, 24. I mean, these guys are young right. people, and they're getting a lot of responsibility. They're learning a lot, and even Zach Werenski is second year in the league. You know, he played through an injury this season, and that is not easy to do. And there'll be a lot of questions around that, of course, but that's fine. This is he's learned how to manage through an injury, and next year when he's healthy, wow, look out! There's a lot of good things here.
Well, you could see the difference in him throughout most of the year. He did come back late in the season there, where he started to shoot the puck again, like he did all last year. But for the most part, he was almost a shadow of himself.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But he's still a player that the opposition had to focus on.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he was that guy. So, you know, and he was playing a new position as a rover. You think that was introduced to him this season, really, where he's been told just to rove. Go. You're a forward or you're a defenseman. Just go up on the play. And for a guy who's played defense his whole life, even though he's only, what, 20 years old, in his short career, it's hard to do. So we'll get excited about this team for good reason again, and it's great to be disappointed, and it doesn't matter if this was the third round series. You're not going to leave three days after and be like, oh, that was so great. It was right. No, you're still going to be like, we could have beat that team. We should be in the Stanley Cup.
You know what? That was the feeling after getting in the first time against Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that was great. Oh, too bad he didn't win a game, but that was great.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Yeah.
And then you get in against Pittsburgh the first time, and you go six games, and there were a lot of great things, overtime games, but not quite good enough. And then last year, obviously, really not good enough, five games. And then this one, you get the lead and you get the
no,
feel like you got your mojo,
good.
And then bam. No. I Matt Calvert said it after the game. He said, this one is the worst one for me, and that says a lot.
Yeah, no, he's right. And then this is 2 days after. I mean, this is, you know, we were starting that game exactly 48 hours ago, and here we are. And
because we should be on the air right now, not doing this. Should be doing a game in Washington right now if it had worked out the way we had wanted it to.
But Toronto and Boston is tied 1-1. Yeah, not even 5 minutes in.
Toronto got a power play goal, and Boston has just come back to tie it. So that'll be interesting. And Tampa's just sitting and waiting for whoever wins this game. But they won't play until Saturday. Pittsburgh and Washington in what? This game?
The Cup. Who's going to win the Cup?
Well, if it winds up being the same matchup as last year, I have no problem with that. Pittsburgh and Nashville, and I don't know which way it'll go from that. I'm going to watch this series intently between Pittsburgh and Washington.
You don't
because
have
I know, pick. I know. Yeah, it's Pittsburgh because they're still after the way they dismantled Philadelphia after everybody thought that was going to be a 7-game series and it wasn't, and the amount of goals that they put up and the way they did it. And I know they've got some injuries right now, but I'm going to watch that series with Washington very closely and see what happens there because I think they flipped the switch again.
I think they're going to destroy Washington.
I do too. I think Washington is making, you know, they're going, well, they did this well against Columbus and this and this. And
no.
That. And no offense, but Pittsburgh's a different beast.
No. I think that Pittsburgh's going to dominate that series. I think Vegas wins the Cup.
That would be awesome.
Flurry.
That would really be awesome,
right?
To be honest with you. And Gerard Gallant being the head coach.
Of course.
One of the finalists for the Jack Adams Award for the Coach of the Year. It was announced.
Isn't that amazing? That's so great. And he's going to win it. But Jared Bednar?
Good for him.
Great for him.
Yes.
Who's the assistant coach? Ryan for Vegas. He was the captain.
Ryan Craig. Right. And you got, you know, but you talk about Jared Bednar. Here's a guy. He leaves Cleveland. He wins the Calder Cup. He ends up leaving this organization, goes to Colorado. They are dead last.
They're last by a million points last year. What is this organization going to do?
Joe Sakic is the GM. People are calling for his head.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Bednar. Yeah. Here's Bednar. He's a first-year NHL head coach. Got to be saying, oh, my God, what did I get into here? And they turn it around and they make the playoffs. So great on him.
No, he did a great job. He's a smart coach. I love his demeanor behind the bench when things are good or bad.
And the other finalist for that award is Bruce Cassidy of the Boston Bruins, who were supposed to be in a rebuilding year, if you will.
Unbelievable.
And they tore it up. They finished second in the division when it was all said and done to Tampa, but they tore it up.
So encouraging, some of these teams, Colorado, even Vegas.
It's encouraging, but it's also dangerous. And as Torch talked about, how tough it's going to be to get in next year.
Oh, that's what I mean. It's encouraging for the National Hockey League. It is amazing. Winnipeg Jets to me. I thought they were a little like Buffalo in a sense where they had a high pick in line A. They had some good pieces like Wheeler. What are they going to do? Thorburn. Where's their goaltending? Wow.
Yeah.
Jack Roslovic could be up for a cup.
Absolutely. I'll tell you. That series is going to be a good one to watch.
Oh, it's going to be wild.
Winnipeg, Nashville. So what's left? Winnipeg, Nashville. You've got San Jose, Vegas. You've got the winner of this Boston-Toronto game to go against Tampa, and you've got Pittsburgh, Washington. That's what's left.
Give me some late nights, Bob, starting tonight.
All right.
This could go late.
Okay. That's all right. I mean, no offense. What else do we have to do?
I'll tell you what. I had the power washer out today, so there's a list I got to do at home. Power washing, patio furniture, and all that.
We all have the
jazz list.
Let's go compare our list because we're out of time. As the Inside Edge comes
to
close. Jody, thank you so much.
It was a great season.
Great work all year, and thanks for listening to the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.
This has been the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
The march is on. The march is on. Brought to you by AEP, Huntington, Fox Sports Ohio, and Ohio Health.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.